This is Audible.
Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security by Kotlikoff, Moeller, and Solman. Summary and review by Ant Hive Media. Narrated by Tony Armagno. Preface. Social Security has always been a hot topic in the United States. Every year, the U.S. government doles out hundreds of billions of dollars in benefits and social insurance. As a citizen, it's your responsibility to know and understand how this program works. Unfortunately, despite being one of the biggest federal programs implemented by the government, it's also one of the most complicated and convoluted to understand. Married couples, for instance, have to go through 10 mathematical functions just to solve for each spouse's benefit. That takes time. And if you make a mistake, it could be a problem. If you want to read through the rules, you'll need to go through 2,728 of them, along with thousands of pages of text, to help explain the rules. In fact, if you print it out on paper, you'll end up with a book larger than the federal tax code. As the Social Security system and rules become more complicated, its staff, including its resources, has steadily been shrinking. More recently, 11,000 positions were cut, and currently, only 75,000 workers have to take care of 56 million Americans who have issues with their Social Security. That's 746.6 people per one Social Security worker to handle. This isn't the only problem. Most representatives are ill-equipped and lack training to help retirees in processing their benefits. Because of this, retirees and those planning to retire need to think twice before accepting all of the advice given by a Social Security representative. This guide serves as an analysis and summary of the book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maximizing Out Your Social Security, by Lawrence Kotlikoff, Philip Moeller, and Paul Solman. The book by Kotlikoff and Company serves as a field guide of sorts for those looking to understand the complex world of the Social Security system. It's also geared toward those who want to maximize their household retirement benefits. This includes information about child, parent, spousal, divorcee, survivor, and disability benefits. The book goes in depth, discussing how benefit seekers can take advantage of file and suspend and start-stop-start approaches, which can be helpful in getting a larger amount of money from your Social Security. It also covers inherent problems in the Social Security system that people planning to retire should avoid. A summary, critique, and guide to Kotlikoff, Moeller, and Solman's Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maximizing Out Your Social Security provides an unofficial guide, summary, and analysis of the book. It also includes a critique of the book's message. You should read this as an accompanying guide to the book, or if you want to get a good idea of what the book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maximizing Out Your Social Security, has to offer. This also presents information from other studies that discuss current and future state of Social Security. Introduction. A regular American living today actually has less than $10,000 saved by the time they are 10 years from retiring. This is alarming. With the cost of living rising along with medical expenses, it's simple to see how the money saved up can easily be depleted. This is why Social Security benefits are important for millions of Americans to survive in their later years. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities cited in a study that for 70% of American retirees, the Social Security benefits are actually a major source of income. Even though the average of the monthly benefit for all retired workers payable in January of 2016 is $1,341, which is not much by anyone's standard, it helps keep 22 million Americans from sliding into poverty. When did the concept of Social Security actually begin? It started in October 1929, when the U.S. stock market crashed. During this period, the market fell 40% from its value in just 3 months, causing $26 billion to disappear. Unemployment was over 25%. More than 10,000 banks failed, and millions of people were unemployed, ushering in the Great Depression. The dire situation called for a serious change and solution in the policies. There were many proposals submitted for this situation. Proposals included Louisiana Governor Huey Long's suggestion to confiscate the wealth of the rich. He dubbed it as the Share Our Wealth program. This required the government to give every family $5,000 of annual income. It limited private fortunes to only $50 million, annual income to $1 million, and legacies up to $5 million. Included in the program, those over 60 would receive a pension. During 1953, the program gained attention and earned 7.7 million supporters. Welfare programs and workers' compensation programs were established on a state level for the elderly. The historic date was June 8, 1934, when President Franklin D. Roosevelt proclaimed his desire to create a national program for Social Security. The Committee on Economic Security, CES, was created soon after this to study the economic problems and recommend solutions. A report was submitted to the President on January 1935. On August 14, 1934, President Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act into law. This also included provisions for old age assistance, grants for states to provide medical care, aid to dependent children, and unemployment insurance. Today, additional items are included in the Social Security, including spousal benefits, retirement benefits, widow and widower survivor benefits, child benefits for young children of retirees, spousal benefits for those with eligible children, survivor benefits to young children, divorcee widow or widower survivor benefits, child benefits for disabled benefits of retirees, survivor benefits for disabled children no matter what age, and disability benefits. Who is covered in Social Security? Every American who has quote-unquote covered employment for a minimum of 10 years or has received 40 credits is qualified for Social Security benefits. For those confused about credits, every American accumulates these based on their earnings. For example, in 2016, every person gets one credit for every $1,260 in earnings every 3 months. To get the maximum number of 4 credits a year, you must earn $5,040 in covered earnings for that year. The $1,260 figure is subject to change each year. Every person born after 1929 will need 40 credits, or about 10 years of employment, in order to receive payments by the time they are 62. Covered employment refers to jobs where Social Security taxes, or FICA contributions, are deducted from an individual's employee pay. Social Security taxes are also paid on self-employment income, equivalent to or less than the taxable maximum, or tax max. The tax max usually increases over time. However, it remained the same in 2016 as in 2015, at $118,500. In addition, if a person meets requirements to receive Social Security benefits, their current spouse, ex-spouse, disabled children, or young children, along with their parents, may qualify to receive benefits from that person's work record. This is also true if the person dies. The work record of the person determines who will receive the Social Security benefit. Social Security was created to help those nearing the retirement age, including their family or relatives. Salmon, Kotlikoff, and Moeller claim that the system is unfair. They assert that the rules are very confusing, and they recommend they be clear and easily understood by every American. They contend the complicated instructions allow those who are more educated have the advantage of the policies and thus receive more benefits compared to those not educated. Because of this stance, it's no surprise that the book has become somewhat of a phenomenon. The authors list 44 secrets for receiving greater benefits. They have also described pitfalls that could cost retirees money. The main purpose of the book, according to the authors, is to make Social Security easy to understand and to learn how to get maximum Social Security benefits. The authors of Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maximizing Out Your Social Security, are more than qualified to tackle the subject. Philip Moeller is a writer for Money Magazine and the PBS website Making Sense, along with other news outlets. Lawrence Kotlikoff is a Boston University professor, and Paul Solman serves as an economics and business correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. The trio came up with the idea for this book while discussing their retirement options. Their constant discussions would bring up concerns about the complicated rules of the Social Security system, so they decided they would tell Americans how to make the most of their retirement benefits while avoiding some of the most common traps found in the system. Social Security terms you need to know. When you navigate the big, bad, and complicated world of Social Security, it's important to know specific terms so you can navigate in this system. The following is a list of common terms used in the book and in this guide. Entitled. This refers to an individual who is currently receiving or collecting benefits from the Social Security system. Eligible. Someone who has the qualifications or circumstance to file and collect Social Security benefits. Primary beneficiary. The retired worker whose primary insurance amount, or PIA, determines all dependent and survivor benefits. Average indexed monthly earnings, AIME. Used by the system to calculate the full retirement benefit a person is qualified to receive. The number is calculated by getting the monthly average of earned income from a person's 35 highest earning years up to the age 60, and indexes it for wage growth. The calculated average is not an exact multiplier of a dollar. Round that number down to the next lower multiple of $1. AIME will depend on a person's earnings base. In turn, this includes wages and self-employment income subject to Social Security taxation. By indexing, workers' previous earnings are restated in terms of today's wages to reflect wage growth. Progressive Benefit Index. This compares the distribution of the present value of lifetime benefits to the distribution of the present value of lifetime taxes. Early Benefit Reductions. These are spousal, retirement, or survivor benefits you can use before reaching FRA B. For instance, if you have a monthly retirement benefit of $1,200 before reaching age 66, and you claim it before you reach 62, your end benefit will be reduced by 62%. So instead of $1,200, you'll end up with $900 a month. FRA. This is used by the Social Security system to define the age a person must reach to become eligible to receive the full benefits from Social Security. Early retirees, or ones who have not reached the full FRA, are eligible to receive a reduced benefit. The FRA is calculated based on the year you were born. However, for most people, it equals to at least 66 years of age. Those born before 1943 will reach FRA at 65, while those born between 1943 and 1954 will reach it at age 66. If you need more information, you can find a more elaborate explanation on the Social Security website. Currently, the age of eligibility starts at 62, but it can be earlier depending on the type of benefit you're pursuing. Primary Insurance Amount, PIA. PIA is the benefit a person would receive before rounding down to the next whole dollar if he or she elects to begin receiving retirement benefits at his or her normal retirement age. The formula used to obtain the PIA is based on your recorded earnings taxed by Social Security. For Social Security benefits to grow according to the proportion of the economy-wide average wages, the administration changes the formula annually with changes in the National Wage Average Index. Delayed Retirement Credits, DRCs. This refers to the increase in your personal retirement benefit for each month you choose to wait to claim your benefit when you reach FRA, up until the age of 70. The DRCs can give you an 8% increase in your PIA annually, supposing you were born in 1943 or later, if you choose to wait to receive your benefits. Here's an example. If your FRA is 66 and you wait until you're 70 to start collecting benefits, your individual benefits will be increased by 8% for each year you decide to wait. If you start collecting benefits at age 70, you get credit for the additional 48 additional months when you did not get benefits, and your monthly benefit will be 32% higher. If your retirement benefit is $1,200 at age 66, but you defer collection, when you reach 70, your benefit will increase 32%. So instead of getting just $1,200, you would get $1,584 a month. If you choose to accumulate the DRC, you can formally file for a retirement benefit and suspend it. When you do this, the system treats you as someone who has filed for retirement benefits and has put it on hold with the intention of restarting it again later. Chapter 1. Getting to know the past and the present of the Social Security system. In order to fully understand the program, the authors dedicated an entire chapter to the history of Social Security. The authors note that the Social Security program was created in 1953 in response to the Great Depression. Initiated by Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, it was one of the many government-sponsored programs started during the time. Among others were unemployment insurance and welfare for families without a head of household. The Social Security program was created to be permanent, spanning presidents and generations. Today, every worker who pays Social Security taxes may file a claim to receive Social Security benefits. The benefits also extend to the workers' spouses, their ex-spouses, and the disabled widows or widowers, including child survivors of deceased workers. Summary and analysis of the main points. Politicians initially thought the Great Depression was just a temporary setback in the economy and everything would be okay again. But they were wrong. The Great Depression dealt huge damage and it lasted for years. As a way of dealing with this long-term economic problem, workers' compensation programs, along with welfare programs for the elderly, were created and implemented on a state level. President Roosevelt ratified the Social Security Act into law on August 14, 1935. This ratification also included old age assistance, state grants for medical care, unemployment insurance, and aid to dependent children. Modern Social Security benefits extend beyond the original retirement benefits. Spousal benefits, divorced spousal benefits, child survivor benefits, widower benefits, and disability benefits have been added to the program. The system is so complex that it's easy for beneficiaries to overlook all of the benefits they can claim. The program is a pay-as-you-go system, where you, as the worker, pay your Social Security taxes. And, in turn, the program uses the money to pay for monthly income of those currently receiving benefits. The Social Security program is different from other company pensions where the money is collected and then paid to workers once they retire. These company pension plans are brought about to help protect employees in case the company goes out of business or goes bankrupt. Chapter 2. Knowing the best practices when collecting Social Security benefits. Kotlikoff, Moeller, and Solman provide three general guidelines when it comes to collecting Social Security benefits. Number 1. Be patient and postpone collecting your Social Security benefits for as long as possible. Number 2. Find out all of the Social Security benefits for which you may be eligible. Aside from the benefits you get because of your work history, you may also be eligible to obtain benefits from your spouse's work history, deceased spouse, ex-spouse, or deceased ex-spouse. Number 3. The time when you collect your benefits is important. You cannot collect two benefits at the same time, so file a claim for one and allow the other benefit to grow. The authors state that the right time for collecting Social Security benefits will vary depending on the household. As stated earlier, the option to claim benefits will vary depending on the birth year. Currently, the age for eligibility is 62, although it would be beneficial for some to wait until they are 70. The file and suspend option. For those who have a spouse, children, or ex-spouses, filing for Social Security can be a way for them to collect benefits. If you file and then choose to suspend it, your benefits will accumulate delayed retirement credits that you can then restart later, but for a much higher value. However, keep in mind that you can only use this strategy between the FRA, which is usually 62, until the age of 70. Here's an example. If you're a married couple, one spouse can file for retirement benefits when they reach 62, then suspend the collection until they reach 70. On the other hand, the other spouse can file for a spousal benefit and collect half the spouse's retirement benefit up until they reach 70. If you look at the rules and regulations of the Social Security system, spousal benefits are applicable to couples who have been married for at least 10 years. It also applies to divorcees. There are, however, criteria that a spouse or divorcee has to meet in order to claim spousal benefits. Among them, if a spouse remarries, they automatically lose spousal benefits from their ex-spouse. If they end up getting married several times, the person can choose from which ex-spouse they can obtain the highest divorced spousal benefit. In case you're wondering which spouse should file for a claim benefit first, you have to consider a couple of factors. If you and your spouse are the same age, then the spouse with the higher income should do the file and suspend strategy once they reach the FRA, while the other one collects the spousal benefit. Once the one who filed reaches 70, he or she can suspend the collection of benefits so both spouses can start collecting their retirement benefits. Waiting strategy for singles. If you're single and you'll be relying on Social Security once you hit retirement age, the authors of the book have only one advice. Wait until you're 70 to claim your benefits. Waiting until you reach 70 will help maximize your benefits, ensuring you will receive a higher amount. The authors claim this is true especially when the amount has been adjusted for inflation over time. The authors suggest that you delay filing for benefits so you can obtain a higher annuity from Social Security later on. The only time you should consider filing for your retirement claim early is if you A. really need the money, B. you have a terminal or serious medical condition, C. you intend to make your older spouse eligible for spousal benefit, or D. you intend to allow your young or disabled child a chance to begin collecting child's benefits. Working strategy. More work may increase your benefits. If your benefit is based on any of the previous 35 high earnings years, you can replace it with a higher earning year, even if it's the most recent one, so you can raise your benefits. This is possible if you are collecting Social Security but continue to work. Basically, even if you end up working until 90 and your latest year of earnings turns out to be one of your highest years, benefits are recalculated and you will be paid the increase due. Start, stop, start strategy. Like its name implies, this means starting your benefits and then stopping them with the purpose of restarting them later on. This can be useful for retirees looking to gain extra income on a temporary basis. The important thing to remember is that the Social Security system gives you a chance to withdraw or change your mind about claiming benefits within one whole year of you making it. It will require you to pay back everything you have received so far from the system, along with the Medicare premiums. Once this is done, you can gain a fresh start when it comes to claiming your record. Another important thing to note here is that during the stop period of your benefits, you will earn delayed retirement credits. To illustrate this better, say you suspend your claim for 4 years before starting again. you will have a 32% higher benefit compared to people who claim their benefits right before your stop period. This might be useful especially for your spouse. As mentioned before, and in accordance with the Social Security rulebook, a spouse has to create a claim first before the other spouse can file for a spousal benefit claim. Calculating the start-stop-start strategy is quite complicated. You have to consider your ages as well as the ages of your children. You do have the option to hire a financial advisor regarding the matter and find out which strategies would best suit your situation. Summary and analysis of the main points. Taking into consideration the life expectancy in the United States, Kotlikoff and Company provided thorough calculations backing up their proposal that delaying the collection of benefits makes more sense than filing a claim early. Ideally, though, if delaying benefits is what you're after, you need to have other sources of income to tide you over. Some examples of this include a 401k retirement fund, a job, or a partner/spouse that's still in the workforce. In reality, it's much grimmer. Less than 2% of retirees wait until they reach the age of 70 before they start collecting their benefits. On the other hand, nearly half of Americans begin to collect benefits when they reach the age of 62. This happens because they have no other savings. The authors claim that the people who file for benefits early are at a disadvantage because of the higher amount they could receive had they waited. The authors also listed the pros and cons of working as long as you possibly can. In the end, they still advocate that retirees focus on the positive and keep their job as long as possible so they can maximize their benefits. Kotlikoff outlines that the problem for most people is the mindset they have about Social Security. For most folks, Social Security benefits are treated as an investment, money they could start getting back after paying in it for a long time. Once they're in this mindset, they start thinking of the age they want to start claiming benefits so they can get their money back. The authors argue that instead of engaging in this mindset, look at Social Security as a form of insurance offering a reliable payout. For them, Social Security has more in common with homeowners insurance, where the owners are protected from possible problems or calamities, so they have to purchase it to protect themselves. Social Security should be seen as a way of protecting you from the worst case possible, finding yourself at 80 or 100 without any money. Of course, while this analogy might fit for the bigger picture, there are some marked differences between homeowners insurance and that of Social Security benefits. For instance, you won't need to sacrifice a great deal if you can't pay homeowners insurance. You can sell your property and find a cheaper one, rent a house, or even an apartment. Meanwhile, rising medical services and living costs are notoriously unstable. Social Security provides protection by ensuring people will have something in case they find themselves unable to work or earn in their later years. This is where the authors further propose that the waiting strategies can really help benefit retirees by providing increases that are over and above inflation. One of Social Security's great strengths is that it offers meaningful protection against inflation. If prices go up, the Social Security benefits people have earned tend to be adjusted as well. Regarding this notion, it's difficult to measure the benefit increases because of how the consumer price index is compared with the real inflation rate. More about this in the second part of the guide. At this point, the authors also point out that their strategies can help people maximize their benefits, encouraging people to manage their Social Security as if they live to be 100 years old. While it sounds wonderful, there are two potential problems with this. First, the actual inflation rate is higher than the Consumer Product Index referred to by the Social Security Administration. This actually reduces people's benefits right before they reach the age of 100. Second, there's a possibility that the Social Security system could be declared insolvent way before today's retirees, the book's audience, celebrate their 100-year mark. The authors never talk about the rising cost of medical expenses and the complicated medical system that plays a vital role in the lives of retirees. Finally, they forget to mention an important strategy that many Americans use today and most likely will continue to use in the future, the leave the country strategy. This tactic is used by retirees today as a result of the rising medical expenses and cost of living in the United States. These retirees either permanently move to another country with lower medical and living expenses compared to the U.S., or they remain in the U.S. but travel abroad to get medical treatment that is often cheaper and almost the same quality. It used to be the other way around. People from less developed countries would travel to the U.S. to obtain proper medical treatment. Now it's different. Americans travel to third world countries for medical treatments because health care in their own country is too expensive. Chapter 3. Getting to the bottom of widower, spousal, and divorced spousal benefits. When it comes to married couples, the authors recommend that the best strategy is a joint effort. The decision of each spouse should be considered, and, in fact, the decision made by one spouse should depend on what the other decides when it comes to collecting Social Security benefits. One spouse cannot collect spousal benefits unless the other spouse has filed for their retirement benefit. It's because of this that communication between couples is of primary importance. Kotlikoff and authors suggest that the couple use the file and suspend strategy. One thing to note as a couple is the danger of deeming. This term is applicable, for instance, if the husband files a claim for retirement, but his wife is younger or hasn't reached the FRA. Social Security will deem her to process and file her own retirement benefit at the same time she files a claim for spousal benefit. As a result, she never receives both benefits, but only receives the one where there's the highest amount, either spousal or retirement benefit. Another thing that compounds this is that her benefits will be reduced because she's claiming them earlier than the FRA. If the couple waits until she's within FRA, then deeming will not be applicable, and the wife will get the spousal benefit equal to 50% of the full retirement benefit of the husband. The book also goes in depth in describing the specifics of the Social Security rules regarding spousal benefits, widower benefits, and divorced spousal benefits. You can read about these below. If you are married for a year or a couple of years and your spouse dies, you can take his or her retirement benefit for some time before switching back to the higher survivor benefit. In Social Security terms, survivor applies to a widow or widower, including a divorced widow or widower. In case the survivor is the higher earner, he or she can file for the survivor benefit early and then wait until 70 before collecting his or her own benefit. Understanding survivor benefits can be complicated, and the details will largely depend whether the spouse passes away before or after reaching 60 years old. If the deceased spouse or ex-spouse processed the benefit before reaching FRA, the amount will be significantly lower. However, if after FRA, the survivor's benefit will be equal to actual benefit, including the delayed retirement credits that the deceased spouse was receiving. There's another rule if the couple has children. Child in care spousal benefits are available to surviving spouses that have small children. The benefit can reach up to 75% of the deceased spouse's PIA. In this instance, there won't be a penalty for early collection. If, for instance, the child was disabled before turning 22, the child in care claim can be collected provided he or she remains unmarried or disabled. The key to maximizing survivors' benefits is to be aware of the timing, according to the authors. Knowing when to file for a retirement benefit or a survivor benefit is essential. One example is that in case your widower's benefit is higher compared to your retirement benefit, then it's wiser to apply for the retirement claim first or right after you reach 62. Later on, once you reach the FRA, you can start collecting survivor's benefit. The authors add that a majority of the Social Security rules on spousal benefit were influenced by its rule makers, which were mostly men who wanted to keep their earnings from their wives. As a result, the Social Security regulation denies a spouse access to an ex-spouse's record. Same goes for a widow or widower. Because of this, it can be difficult for surviving spouses to decide when they should retire. Summary and analysis of the main points. If you didn't know about spousal benefits before, you're not alone. Many are actually less aware of spousal benefits in comparison to their own retirement benefits. It's important to know that when you get married, it can affect your benefits. If you choose not to get married, you won't be able to claim spousal benefits from Social Security later on. As a general rule, if you want to maximize your Social Security benefits as a couple, then it's good to remember that life expectancy is higher for women, whereas men, on average, have higher incomes throughout their lives. Kotlikoff and the other authors agree that every couple should communicate about their finances. Any financial decision they make today will have an impact on their financial situation in the future. It's important to note, however, that a divorced individual can only process a spousal benefit if he or she continues to be unmarried. There are some men and women who make it a point to stay in an unhappy marriage for at least 10 years or longer so they can claim spousal benefits. The consequences of this can range from mild to serious, especially if domestic violence is present in the relationship. There's also a danger of integrity and well-being if a spouse continues to pretend he or she is happy in the marriage just to collect the Social Security benefits later on. The authors of the book don't discuss the moral and psychological implications when using this strategy. The National Academy of Social Insurance states 55% of adult Social Security beneficiaries were women in 2012. They make up 56% of all beneficiaries age 62 and above, and 66% of beneficiaries age 85 and older. Many women depend heavily on Social Security as a source of income for retirement. Social Security accounted for 49% of total income for unmarried women, including widows, compared to 35% of total income for married men. The average married woman receiving Social Security benefits will outlive her husband. Women are often lower paid than men, which gives them benefit from Social Security's progressive benefit formula. The National Women's Law Center states, every 3 out of 10 females rely on Social Security as their only source of income. Almost half of women, age 65 and older, would be poor without Social Security. Social Security is the only source of income for 36% of unmarried female beneficiaries, 65 and older. This figure includes those who are divorced, never married, or widowed. Chapter 4. What are disability benefits? Social Security pays benefits to people who are not able to work because they have a medical condition that's expected to last at least 1 year or result in death. Considered compensation for lost wages, these benefits were created to help disabled workers, their spouses, and dependents. A disability benefit can be received earlier than a retirement benefit. If you are receiving Social Security benefits when you reach FRA, your disability benefits automatically convert to retirement benefits, but the amount remains the same. The number of Social Security benefit claims paid to disabled workers increased more than 50% in the last 20 years, with 4,000 active claims paid in 1995 to almost 9,000 per month in 2016 so far. The main author, Kotlikoff, has given expert testimony to Congress stating that Social Security benefits feature deceitful rules, questionable penalties, and auxiliary benefits for those on the disabled list. One example is the calculation for the Family Maximum Benefits, FMB. The family maximum for those with disability, including their children and spouses, is 85% of the worker's AIME. Luckily, those who are on disability benefits do have a few advantages. They can secure retirement benefits earlier without any reduction. There is no deeming in their disability benefits. Ex-spouses, as well as older spouses, have the prerogative to collect spousal benefits earlier. It's also possible to take excess spousal benefits earlier and postpone receiving the spousal retirement benefit once they hit FRA. In the meantime, their own retirement benefit will continue to rise until they reach 70. By the time they reach 50, they can start collecting widow or widower benefits. Filing for disability benefits can affect the rest of the Social Security benefits. If you're looking to claim disability, it's important to educate yourself of the possible consequences for you and your family. Summary and analysis of the main points. According to the authors, because of the changes made by Bill Clinton to the federal welfare programs in 1996, disability payments actually increased. There were also other economic events that affected this, like the shortage of blue-collar jobs during this period. According to the Social Security Administration data, between the recession of March 2007 and March 2013, there was an increase of 21% in claims for Social Security disability insurance. Many experts contend that this spike wasn't caused by the failing of American Health, but instead because of the flaws in the SSDI system. Americans who had difficulty in finding jobs during the recession took advantage of this. Also, others who didn't want to work took advantage of the system. The danger, however, is that if this trend worsens, it could render the program useless. It would hurt the people who are legitimately disabled and unable to work. Chapter 5. Gay Married Couples Benefits. As of this writing, gay marriages are still not legal in all 50 states. Social Security for gay couples would be dependent on the state in which they were married and where each worker resides at the time he or she applies for benefits. If the state has legalized gay marriage, then it is possible to file for a claim. It's important to note that if a gay couple was married in a state where gay marriage is legal, but the couple moves to another state where the union is deemed illegal, then the situation would be more complicated. This could, in turn, affect widow, survivor, as well as partner of disabled persons' benefits. Summary and analysis of the main points. Currently, gay marriage is slowly being legalized in most states. It should be easier for gay couples to claim Social Security benefits in the future. Chapter 6. The Earnings Test and How It Affects the Benefits. Understanding the earnings test can be complicated. However, it's crucial to grasp the basics of it to prevent you from not receiving your maximum benefit. The earnings test basically refers to the calculation of which income sources to use when deciding your benefits. If you're not careful, the earnings test can create a problem when claiming your Social Security benefits. When you decide to collect benefits before reaching FRA, and you continue earning wages above the threshold, it's likely your benefits will be reduced. For some people whose income is far above the threshold, their benefits can be lost. Here's an example. If your FRA is 66, and you're currently between age 62 and 65, your Social Security benefit will be reduced by $1 for every $2 of wages over $15,720. Once you turn 66, your benefit will be reduced by $1 for each $3 of earnings over $41,880. Once you reach FRA, you can receive full benefits with no limit on earnings. The earnings test can also influence the spousal benefits if a person's outside earnings are much higher than the above. If the spouse receives benefits based on that person's work, earnings from the work that person did after he or she started getting retirement benefits could reduce the benefits of the spouse as well. Once people find out about this, most want to go ahead and quit working. The authors don't recommend taking this route because you need to understand the money will be repaid to your benefits once you reach the FRA. Summary and analysis of the main points. The earnings test is like a tax on continued working, which discourages older citizens from continuing to work. Of course, there are those who would argue otherwise, stating that it actually doesn't exert any influence on the decisions of retirees to continue working. The fact is, though, it does have an influence on a retiree's work decision in the later years. If you find yourself thinking about this, it's easier to think of the general situation. Have a proper savings account in case the earnings test significantly reduces your Social Security benefit. Most financial experts recommend having sufficient funds in your bank account to cover essential expenses for 6 to 8 months. Chapter 7, The Gotchas of Social Security. The authors of the book warn that the most dangerous gotcha in the Social Security system is deeming. To simplify, deeming refers to the penalty you get for filing a claim prior to reaching FRA. It is imposed on people who qualify for both spousal as well as retirement benefits. If you take advantage of your benefits before you reach the FRA, you can be deemed or forced into taking spousal benefit earlier than usual. As a result, your Social Security benefit is then permanently reduced. On occasion, most people will be tempted to file for Social Security benefits earlier because they either don't have money or they need money for an emergency. However, this is problematic since it will greatly decrease the amount of benefits collected in the future. Kotlikoff further adds that the second worst gotcha is that when you file for benefits, you cannot take a secondary benefit, like survivor or spousal benefit, at the same time. So it's important to think about your situation. If you are eligible for more than one benefit, it's wise to apply for a claim on one of them and then let the other benefit grow for the meantime. The authors also warn of another gotcha called the Social Security Benefit Statements. These benefit statements are sent out to potential recipients, but they are not adjusted for inflation and wage growth. This is further explained by the windfall elimination provision, which states that when an individual starts earning a government pension from a job that he did not pay Social Security taxes on, then his or her Social Security benefits earned from other jobs could be decreased. Once that person dies, the person's spouse or ex-spouse can collect a widow's benefit in accordance with the earnings history of the individual, and the government pension won't be reduced. However, the widow's benefit will have an impact on other benefits the spouse or ex-spouse receives. The authors are also quick to point out that there's a steady reduction of benefits given to surviving female spouses. For instance, when a woman receives retirement benefit and has worked for much longer than she intended, then she can only choose between the larger of the two benefits rather than getting a portion of both. Another Social Security trap is that the language used in the rules and regulations will leave you scratching your head. It's difficult for most people to grasp, especially when jargon is used throughout the literature. There's also the problem of asking for advice from Social Security representatives. Most of them are not fully trained and will often give retirees bad advice, costing retirees plenty of retirement money. As a retiree, it's your job to know what to do beforehand and make sure that they do it right. The family maximum benefit defines the limit to how much each family can receive in terms of benefit payments and is based on a worker's earning record. To calculate the FMB, there's a special formula used which involves the amount of the primary benefit. If the total amount of benefits payable exceed the number calculated, the beneficiaries will have their benefits reduced. For a family of a worker who dies in 2016 before attaining age 62, the amount of benefits payable will be computed so that it essentially does not exceed a percentage of the worker's PIA. Summary and analysis of the main points. Documentation for Social Security is definitely complex. It's not light reading. As complicated as the federal tax code is, most people who can afford it hire a professional to figure out their taxes. But the problem is, not many professionals can help other people make sense out of their Social Security benefits. This is where this book becomes helpful. Aside from providing information and explanations on the basics of Social Security, they dive in depth on the restrictions and trappings of certain Social Security rules. For those who are still trying to make sense of the system, there are some basic rules and regulations you need to know. You can only claim retirement benefits when you are 62 or older. You have to be 62 or older to collect spousal benefits. Also, your spouse must have filed for his or her retirement or disability benefit before you can file yours. You cannot collect spousal benefits unless you have been married to the person for at least 1 year. You have to be 62 or older to collect a spousal claim on an ex-spouse's earnings. You also have to have been married to your ex-spouse for at least 10 years to qualify, and divorced for at least 2 years. This is if you're not claiming your own retirement or disability benefit. Finally, you must remain unmarried in order to qualify. If you decide to remarry, the spousal benefit you receive from your ex-spouse will be forfeited. You have to be 60 years old before you can collect a widower or widow's survivor benefit. In case you are disabled and haven't remarried before reaching 50, then it's possible to collect a benefit when you reach 50. Divorced couples are eligible for the same benefit as the widow or widower, providing your marriage lasted more than 10 years. If you have a child of a retired worker in your care, then it's possible to collect spousal benefits no matter how old you are. Of course, additional restrictions might apply depending on the child's age. If you have a child of a deceased spouse in your care, you are eligible for mother or father benefits regardless of your age. Restrictions might apply depending on the child's age. If you're under 18, or 19 if the person is still in school, or become disabled before the age of 22, you qualify for child benefits for children of retired or deceased individuals. You have to be married for at least 10 years, so you can be eligible to collect spousal or survivor benefits as an ex-spouse. This doesn't mean you have to live together the entire length of 10 years, but simply to remain married for 10 years. Part 2. Critique of the messages in Get What's Yours. Discussing the future of the Social Security program. Kotlikoff, along with the other writers, actually have different visions on the future of Social Security. Moeller is quite positive about it. Kotlikoff, meanwhile, has observed that so far the government has prevented its collapse. It is questionable, though, if the government can continue to make changes just to keep the program alive. He also adds that people who are currently 55 or older will receive their benefits, but for those who are 55 and younger, will end up receiving lesser benefits. Solman's opinion lies in between these two. Although the authors believe that the U.S. government could figure out a way to keep the program alive for years, it's important to remember that the future of the program is uncertain because of solvency issues. To understand this, look at how Social Security is funded. The funds received by Social Security originate from payroll taxes, pension taxes, interest earnings, and other sources, and are managed by the Department of the Treasury. When payments exceed the amount of money paid in benefits, the rest is invested in special issue government bonds that are privately traded. All of these bonds are placed in trust, and the money goes to government programs. As a result, the Social Security Trust Fund has no money, but only special bonds, or IOU notes. Are these special bonds of any value at all? Will the government be capable of meeting future obligations simply using these bonds? The fact is, as long as these bonds have no real value, they remain as merely IOU notes and claims that will need to be financed for the future. And where will they get financing? This will lead, in turn, to reduced benefits, increase in taxes, as well as borrowing from the public. Since these are not publicly traded, the value will rely on the dollar. Back in 1972, the United States dollar was backed by gold. However, today it's only fiat money, backed by a government promise. Currently, the dollar is the primary currency for international reserves, and it's possible for the government to keep its promise to repay using the special issue bonds. But the danger is that if the situation changes, the Social Security bonds could be deemed worthless pieces of paper. Of course, currently, there's very little danger of the U.S. dollar losing status as the international reserve currency. But it's important to note that the dollar has had this position for only several decades. The Chinese economy grows stronger every day, and changes could happen fast and with very little warning. In fact, most Americans have experienced how unreliable most of these financial systems can become. In an article titled "Fearing the Worst," Buttonwood from The Economist writes, "There have been lots of cases of paper money systems collapsing in hyperinflation. The French assignats of the 1790s, the American Confederacy, the Weimar Republic, and so on. It is conventional to assume that modern central bankers, with their degrees and mathematical equations, will avoid this problem. But those bankers have been surprised by so many things already, from the fragility of the financial system to the soundness of the housing market, that our confidence in their wisdom should at least be shaken." Social Security and Economic Inequality. The book discusses popular strategies as well as lesser-known benefits you can get from Social Security. One thing to note is that Social Security doesn't provide benefits proportional to the time you have worked or the amount of Social Security tax you have paid. Your reward is not proportional to the amount you contributed. Kotlikoff says that the Social Security inequality is despicable. For instance, a person who works at a fast food chain all his or her life and contributes to the Social Security will receive a significantly lower benefit compared to someone who hasn't worked his or her entire life and enjoys a better lifestyle. Kotlikoff further asserts that those who drafted the Social Security rules were older white males, and they pretty much integrated this unfairness into the system. It was created to serve their personal interests. Because of this, single people find themselves at a disadvantage because the system provides greater benefits to married couples. The system also provides higher benefits to couples with only one earner over a household with two earners. They further warn that the system was not made to automatically award people the benefits they deserve. For a person to receive all the benefits they are entitled to, they have to fully understand the complicated rules and how the system works. Relying on a Social Security representative can also bring problems, since most of them are not adept at providing the correct information. Because of this shortage of information, most Americans don't take advantage of the benefits that are rightfully theirs. Similar to the federal income tax system, the Social Security benefit system is very complex and difficult to understand. Maximizing Social Security payments requires strategy and knowledge of the system's sometimes unusual rules, as discussed in this summary. Hiring a financial advisor can help. For some, this route is not affordable, and the advantage to claim options under existing rules is lost. Kotlikoff also adds that contributing to this complex benefit system is the language used in the literature. It mistakenly gives people the impression that as long as their contributions are higher, they'll get more from the system. He states that there are plenty of earners who contribute to Social Security their entire life, but their benefits are the same had they never worked in their life. Real inflation and various Social Security benefits. Kotlikoff mentions that one advantage of the Social Security benefits is that it's inflation-proof. He says that because the benefits are adjusted according to the inflation rate, Social Security does a good job of maintaining the real buying power of the dollars it pays out, and this is a big, big deal. This is quite true. Every year on January 1st, Social Security will automatically increase benefits to receivers if there was an increase to the Consumer Price Index, comparing 12 months ending October 31st. The Consumer Price Index, or CPI, is used by the federal government to gauge inflation as experienced by consumers. It is generally the best measure for adjusting payments to consumers when the intent is to allow consumers to purchase, at today's prices, a market basket of goods and services, such as food, housing, recreation, clothes, transportation, and healthcare, equivalent to what they could purchase in an earlier period. The problem with this is that it does not account for spending differences between elderly and the general population, especially in the healthcare category, where the rate of costs have spiked in comparison to other market items. Let's go deeper into CPI calculations. Because they alter the list of consumer products being measured, the government can lower the CPI. Over a period of 30 years, the government has actually changed the way it calculates the CPI over 20 times, and could be a convenient way to include items in the market basket that give a favorably low result. As long as the government has a chance to manipulate the CPI, it actually provides a misrepresentation of inflation. The reason why the government might want to manipulate the CPI and keep it low is because it directly affects costs of living increases for the millions of people, those under Social Security, military, or civil service retirees. Another thing to note is that using the CPI neglects the dip in money value when more is created. Basically, the more money created on paper or electronically, the less the value of that money. So the question is, what is the real inflation rate in the United States? The Bureau of Labor Statistics says that inflation means a continuous rise in prices. The only time that anyone can measure proper inflation is if the goods and services remain fixed. This would include having the same goods and services today as people had 30 years ago. What the government does is to swap out the expensive items in the market for a much lesser item. For instance, beef prices rise, so the price is replaced by cheaper chicken meat, so the CPI calculation remains low. According to John Williams, head of Shadow Government Statistics, proposes that real inflation is about 10% each year. On one of his reports, he states, "The current U.S. financial markets, financial system, and economy remain highly unstable and increasingly vulnerable to unexpected shocks. At the same time, the Federal Reserve and the federal government are dedicated to preventing systemic collapse and broad price deflation. To prevent any economic collapse, as has been seen in official activities in recent years, they will create and spend whatever money is needed, including the deliberate debasement of the U.S. dollar with the intent of increasing domestic inflation." Without even using complicated formulas, the difference between real inflation and CPI shows a big discrepancy. As an everyday citizen, it's not difficult to note that paying for services and goods like textbooks, tuition, medical expenses, etc., have increased by more than 2% each year. Michael Civi, in his piece, "If There's No Inflation, Why Are Prices Up So Much?" states, "Perhaps the most telling indicator, albeit a slightly facetious one, is the Big Macs Index, popularized by The Economist magazine. McDonald's hamburgers are available in many countries, and their prices reflect the cost of food, fuel, commercial real estate, and basic labor. The price of a Big Mac, therefore, can be used to compare the economies of different countries, or serve as a bellwether of inflation in a single country. Since the recession ended, the cost of a Big Mac in the United States has risen from an average of $3.57 to $4.37, or 5.2% a year. If the actual inflation rate is much higher compared to the CPI, then the middle class buying power should greatly decrease along with the Social Security benefits. By this estimation, Kotlikoff's estimate of 76% increase in benefits by the time they reach 70, in contrast to those who receive the claims at age 62, are overly exaggerated. The bottom line is that even if the difference between the two were small, it will still have a large impact on the benefits of retirees in the long run. What is the real value of Kotlikoff's book? Kotlikoff, Moeller, and Solman provide a good base for people to learn about the Social Security system and the benefits they can receive. It also shines a harsh light on the possible problems in the Social Security benefits. It's important to note, however, that the book is limited to the current state of the program and doesn't discuss any possible problems the Social Security system may run into in the future, in particular, its solvency. However, they do argue that the book isn't meant to tackle the problem of the system, or even to fix it, but simply to get what's yours. Overall, the book definitely lives by its motto of carpe diem. It gives retirees solid advice on how they can make the most out of their Social Security benefits right now. This has been Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security, written by Lawrence Kotlikoff, Philip Moeller, and Paul Solomon. Summary and review by Ant Hive Media. Narrated by Tony Armagno.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.